I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, I am offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there, and I'm going to throw in the libertarian-minded. I got to tell you, I've been hearing the term libertarian thrown around a lot more lately in political conversations. Very, very interesting to me. Noticing this as a trend. Now, I might have some level of confirmation bias. That word really pops out at me because the number of people who would have identified as libertarians 2 years ago was quite small, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The Republican Party being so successful in convincing conservatives that libertarians are crazy ones. All that freedom. Come on now. People can't be trusted with that. But I'm hearing more and more people. When you hear people say, you know, typically we've always heard that people say, whether you're conservative or liberal, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Now I'm hearing a lot of this. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat or libertarian. I'm hearing that thrown into the conversation a lot more. Last night, just in a conversation, two people I was talking to had always been very conservative, traditional Republicans for the longest time, and unsolicited by me. I said, yeah, but I'm really kind of trending. I'm getting a little libertarian. Now, it apparently took stripping all of us of our rights. And now the potential to force us to participate in a huge medical experiment against our will to get people to start to think a little bit more about the ideas of libertarianism, not of the party, the libertarian train wreck party, but of the libertarian philosophy. But I'll take it. If it took this to get people to rediscover how precious actual freedom is, I'll take it. Libertarians are about freedom, and I'm talking about real freedom, not the allowed Republican or the allowed Democrat freedoms where they give them and take them depending on the conditions. So if you are willing to accept real freedom in this country to rediscover our libertarian roots that spawned the Constitution, then you need to be far more courageous about it. And stop with the mealy-mouthed Republican version of freedom. And if you want true freedom for yourself, be willing to give real freedom to other people. Because that's what it takes. You cannot pick and choose your freedoms. Today is actually the 20th anniversary of the Republican-led and Democrat-agreed-to signing of the Patriot Act. This is the 20th anniversary of the day when the GOP put a big fat asterisk on the constitutional rights that we have. And we bought it because they made us scared of all the Muslims. Made us scared that a bunch of countries around the world are going to come take our stuff. So they needed to spy on us and track us and trace us and monitor our bank accounts for terrorist money laundering and every other freedom-stripping, privacy-stripping part of the Patriot Act. And I am also encouraged by so many people I've heard over the last couple of years finally waking up to the idea that the Patriot Act was Republican communism. Just complete surveillance state stuff. So anyway, a long intro to say welcome. I'm glad that these ideas are starting to take root. I hate what we had to go through. I would love to see a more proactive American population. But that's okay. We are where we are. Well, it's like working out. What do they say? When is the best time to start exercising? 10 years ago. When's the second best time?
today. So I'll take today, if people will start actually recognizing that freedom is not part of the two-party system, not real freedom. Quotes of the day today, a couple of kind of humorous ones. First one from George Carlin. Oh, man, I wish he was alive. George Carlin and Bill Hicks were alive today. That may be all you'd be hearing each week. It's clips from their latest comedy specials. But George Carlin said, think of how stupid the average person is and realize half of them are stupider than that. Will Rogers, quote from Will Rogers says, there are men running governments who shouldn't be allowed to play with matches. I know how many of you out there who hear that quote immediately thought of Joe Biden. I mean, he is the poster child for that quote. And then one a little bit more serious, but in honor of the 20th anniversary of the signing of the Patriot Act, Edward Snowden said, quote, in the end, the Obama administration is not afraid of whistleblowers like me. We are stateless, imprisoned, or powerless. No, the Obama administration is afraid of you, an informed, angry public demanding the constitutional government it was promised and it should be. Now, this was obviously written during Obama's term. Edward Snowden remained in exile during the Trump administration, and he is still in Russia today. And here is the infuriating quote of the day. Check this out. Quote, it's hard to know where pandemic relief money went. The PRAC, or this is the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. What kind of fresh hell would it be to be assigned to this committee? Bluntly admits in a PRACIS, this is PRECIS, PRACIS. I had to look this up. When I was a kid, if I didn't know what a word meant, my parents always encouraged me to read. And when I was reading anything, whether it's the newspaper or book or anything, I'd come to my parents and say, what does this word mean? And they would say to me, what do you think it means? And I would tell them what I thought it meant, or I would say, I don't know. And if I told them what I thought it meant, they'd say, are you sure you're right? And I'd say, well, I'm not really sure. That's why I ask you. And they say, well, you better look that up. It was a very empowering thing. I think it has added to my vocabulary and my quest for some level of knowledge. But anyway, a PRECIS, PRECIS, is a concise summary of a book, article, or other text, an abstract. So there you go. Word of the day. You've learned a little something. If you don't listen to the rest of the show, you learned a new word, probably for most of you. Some of you might already know. Anyway, this PRAC, the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee, in this abstract of their study of the report posted on its pandemic oversight website, says another quote, quote, it's even harder for us to tell you what it was used for. The statutory oversight authority for $5 trillion in federal COVID relief spending. Quote, government award data is full of dead ends. $5 trillion. These poor saps who got stuck on an oversight committee, an accountability committee, just says, it's hard to know where the pandemic relief money went. $5 trillion. But if you hang with me for a few minutes, I'm going to tell you where it went. Well, let's go ahead and get started with it right now. I'm going to do Tech Tuesday. A couple of stories I should be able to get to. I'll be honest with you. I came into this studio this morning with no show. I was out late last night when I got done. I was tired. Figured I'd put something together in the morning, but I woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 5 a.m. for some reason, just full of energy. Maybe it was partial panic because I realized I've got 2 hours of radio to fill and I had nothing to do. Within about 30 minutes of being in the studio, or not in the studio, but in the offices today, I've got about 5 hours worth of material here. But anyway, we'll do some Tech Tuesday towards the end of next hour if I can get to it. But I'm talking about where the money went. I can't wait for this report to Tech Tuesday. Yesterday, I talked about the oligarchs who are running the system. It's enriching them while impoverishing us. More on that to follow. And I reported on Elon Musk yesterday, largely due to taxpayer subsidies and low interest rates. He was worth $200 billion. This is on the rise of Tesla stock. And I made the point, this was yesterday, talking about the oligarchs and how these disastrous monetary policy we have in the United States has just enriched this small, teeny, tiny sliver of people who were at the trough of all of this free money. He was worth $200 billion. Yesterday, the stock market popped, and now he's worth $250 billion. Elon Musk's net worth went up $50 billion in a day. In a day. Did he make more cars? No. New technology? Nope. Same old thing. He made $50 billion. Yes, that's a little bit of a misleading way to put it. His net worth went up $50 billion. And as the stock goes, if it comes down, this net worth will go down again. But that just shows you. It shows you where this money that's sloshing around in our economy is going. It's going into speculation. It's going into Wall Street. $50 billion in a day. As I say, it'll fluctuate, but come on. Can you not see the banana republic we're living in right now? The stock market futures right now have gone to all-time highs. I haven't pulled it up since the market has opened today. But just think about the separation of Wall Street and Main Street for just a moment with me, will you? Stock market futures to all-time highs. Just look around. Things are going great. Supply lines are in tatters. Shelves are for us little people out here are empty. Inflation is raging. Main Street businesses are struggling with increasing labor and product costs. Housing is unaffordable for people now, and houses can't even be completed. I run into some builders I know from time to time. They've got homes sitting there boarding up windows because they can't get windows for 3 or 4 months. And then if you get into a house, good luck getting a dishwasher. But the stock market futures to all-time highs, baby. And then there's this. This is a headline. It's from England, but it really says what, you know, Wall Street is basically a global area. And if anybody's listening to me and thinks, what is this leftist on there? You know, would you with Occupy Wall Street or something? Hopefully most conservatives now understand the game because you started talking a lot about the globalist and you understand that Wall Street is the globalists. And Main Street is the heart of America. And so Wall Street benefiting. I'm a pure capitalist, a real free market guy. If there's a company who can list on the stock market and provides a good or service that is really popular and they're not with recipients of government money, God love you. I don't have a problem with Elon Musk being worth $250 billion. The problem is that that's largely because he is at the trough of zero interest rates and taxpayer subsidies for his cars because of this green movement. But for the little people, this is again from England, but I just thought this was absolutely hilarious as a headline. The COVID pandemic has led to growing numbers of baby boomers in Britain moving back in with their elderly parents. You know, we've talked, it's the boomerang boomers is what they're calling them. Things have gotten to where we've got people in their 50s having to go shack up with their parents in their 80s. Because the people in their 50s who are already at the peak earning, supposedly, of their lives, can't tote the bills. Now, there were some other reasons given for this, divorces, and some of it was ascribed to pandemic issues as they destroyed our economy, both in Great Britain and United States, or the entire Western world destroyed the Main Street economy purposefully. But you've got 55-year-olds. I don't know. I mean, I'm a healthy guy right now, but I might want my kids to move back in with me when I'm 80. I might need the company. It'll keep me from getting too many cats. And then there's this. I can't stop. I've got a 5 hours worth of material here. So check this out again. Let's recap what's going on in Main Street. Supply lines in tatters. Shelves are empty. Inflation is raging. Businesses are struggling with increasing labor and product costs. Housing's unaffordable. You've got people at the verge of retirement moving back in with their parents. And then there's this. The financial industry's pre-tax profits surged about 13% from a year earlier to $31 billion. Helped by anyone? Record low interest rates, strong trading volume, record earnings in subsectors like global equities, which had the strongest six-month period since 1980, and record revenues from underwriting and account supervision fees and investment advisory fees. I guess I should call this group that I mentioned a second ago, the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. I can tell them where the money went if they're looking for it. I can tell it's on Wall Street. It's with the big banks. The New York City comptroller said that the average bonuses paid out to New York City securities industries workers in 2020 grew by 10% to $184,000. That's the bonus, not the salary, you understand. And made up 41% of wages. Average salaries, including bonuses, reached $438,450 last year, the highest of all industries in the city. Based on the industry's increased set-asides for compensation this year, the city forecast a 6.5% rise in average bonus for 2021. As banks have been increasingly paid to attract new talent and retain existing staff, which would raise bonuses above the post-recession record paid out in 2017. So, I'm so sorry to you local business owners who can't staff your stores, so you have to close your doors on some days. I'm very sorry to the small farmers facing huge price increases. I've talked to two farmers in the past week that are talking about the increase. I believe fertilizer by ton, one guy recounted to me, had gone from $250 a ton fertilizer to over $800 a ton. He also talked about the gas prices to fill up his diesels. So I'm sorry to the consumer who can't find products on store shelves. And when you can find them, you get a little bit of sticker shop. Sorry to the local manufacturing businesses that can't get raw materials to actually produce the goods that you feed your family with. And I'm sorry to the middle class savers that you can't earn any money on your savings. But rest easy knowing that Wall Street bonuses are hitting record highs. And Elon Musk's net worth went up by $50 billion yesterday. So if anybody knows anybody at the Pandemic Relief Accountability Committee, tell them to give me a call. I've found the money. All right, so I start my show off today, hopefully stoking some outrage with people. That's really what my goal is. I think it'll turn you into libertarians when you realize how bad we've been hoodwinked. That's kind of one of my goals, too. Not for the party, but just for the independent thought of it. And I'd like to have some freedom in this country for me, for my children, for my grandchildren, should I have any. But there's a flow. They talk about the proper ways to write a book or to do a movie where you take emotional highs and lows and you give a pause and all of these. There's a structure to things to make them flow well. So, 'cause this show today is actually really about a lot of positive stuff. A lot of winning is going on right now. A lot of winning, a lot of pushback is succeeding. And I'm going to get to those stories. It's going to be an encouraging show. I always want to make sure people understand the scam of the monetary system because most people do not understand it. Conservatives too. So I think it's important to teach that. It's a teachable moment to me to see this money flowing from the bottom 99% up to the top 0.1%. It's important to see that and understand that you're not going to solve it by electing Ron DeSantis. I mean, nothing against Ron DeSantis. He's the hero of the country when it comes to COVID response. But the problem is these two parties benefit. Ron DeSantis, unfortunately, he's an establishment politician. God love him. What he's done for Florida has saved a lot of lives, not just COVID related, but economically and mentally. He's a true hero of the COVID moment. But my point is that until we start demanding the right things from even a Ron DeSantis when it comes to the big issues, we solve nothing. But people are pushing back. So this is going to be a lot about winning. I did want to mention one thing. Have you ever heard this? I'm going to take a break and then I'm going to come back to lump all these victories all together so they're more impactful. There is something like I read a story a couple of years ago within literature and theater, there are like five storylines. And every single piece of literature or theater all comply to these five these five essential stories. I'm going to have to read this up. I'm not doing a good job of explaining it, but it's pretty fascinating. And I read this story, and I started thinking about some of my favorite movies and some of my favorite books, and you realize, you know, it's, you know, the hero comes about, he's oppressed, he stands up, in the end, he's victorious. I'm oversimplifying this, but I was pretty fascinated to know that basically all storytelling is put into these five formats, and nothing ever deviates from them. Pretty fascinating. I'll have to do a show about that. It just occurred to me. But anyway, so I've done my outrage segment. When I come back, I'm going to do our hope segment, because one of the lessons that we should learn from what we have seen, particularly over the last 6 months, as they have rolled out some of the most authoritarian policies we have ever seen in the United States, and God knows what's happened to Australia. People are pushing back, and they're winning. They are winning. And the lesson that should be learned from this is don't give up so damn fast. How many people shrugged their shoulders over this vaccine and went, well, they're going to force us to get it anyway. I guess I'll go get it. And they went and got it. Well, I've got to wear a mask. I mean, someone might say something, so I'll just wear the mask. No. You stand up, and because there are so many people who gave in, I wish I knew the numbers. There are tens of millions of people right now fighting against mask mandates, particularly for their children. They're fighting against these vaccine mandates, and they are winning. Can you imagine the victories we could have had if everybody, those of you who gave in quickly, if you had joined us in the resistance immediately, this would have been stopped maybe in its tracks. And I'll show you what I'm talking about when we come back. This is going to be an uplifting, optimistic show when I come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. One thing you should understand about your host here, I don't like not knowing things. It's rare that I will say, I wonder why, or I wonder what that means, or something like that, that I don't try relentlessly to try to figure out what it means. And so I mentioned this idea of five plots for all literature and theater. It's actually seven. I looked it up during the break. It's attributed to a guy named Christopher Booker. He wrote a book called The Seven Basic Plots, Why We Tell Stories. It's a 2004 book. I think I should mention his name because this Wikipedia entry says he worked on the book for 34 years. So nice job, Christopher Booker. Talk about seeing through a project. 34 years he worked on this. So real quickly, before I get to our messages of hope from today's show, I'll tell you what he came up with. The seven plots are Overcoming the Monster, Rags to Riches, The Quest, Voyage and Return, Comedy, Tragedy, and Rebirth. Those are the seven formats. And it was interesting. I read a more in-depth piece about this, and when you start looking at movies, you realize, I mean, they all follow these. Now, maybe not all of them. We've all seen movies or read books, and you get to the end of it, and you just go, oh, wow, that ending really sucked. Well, I think they probably deviated from the rules. We need some rewarding resolution at the end of most books, at the end of most movies. And so this is where these plots come in. Kind of interesting. All right, so let's get into this. First of all, we're going to juxtapose what the authoritarians want for us and how well it's going right now. To find the true authoritarians, we've got to travel down under to the horrific experience of the Australian people. This is the Victorian Prime Minister, and this is their thinking. This is what they want for us, and the thinking is the same in the United States. They haven't been able to get away with exactly the same things. But if we don't push back, and to be honest with you, the people that are already pushing back are to be credited with the fact that we aren't Australia yet. There are a lot of people in this country that would have gone along with the Australian model for COVID response. But in America, we still have bastions of people fighting for their freedom, and they have stopped this. Those of you who gave in quickly, you should be thanking those friends of yours that went out and fought against these mandates, fought against the masks for the kids, fought against all of this stuff, because they saved your bacon. You just don't know it. Here's what the psychopaths in charge actually have in store for us.
Like, why would you get the system going? Why would you have the thing up and running and then essentially pull down that, pull all that down, pull all the architecture that you built, all the infrastructure that you built, the culture that you've changed? Why would you change that 4 or 5 weeks later? We will not be doing that here.
Just imagine what he's saying there. This is the premier of Victoria. He's saying, look, we put all this work into oppressing the people. Just because the pandemic's over, we're not just going to take it down. What a waste of time that would be. You see, it's not about health. It doesn't matter if there's zero COVID cases, no outbreaks, no nothing. They've put in the architecture. They've spent all the money. They've created all the systems to oppress the people. I don't want that to go for nothing. And that's the thing people need to understand. They're building an architecture of oppression. They will continue to use it. If COVID, if they just can't keep COVID alive for another 10 years, they'll use it for climate change. They'll use it for the next disease. They've built the architecture. It needs to be wholly dismantled. And the only way that's going to happen is if the people demand it. So you're listening to a psychopath tell you, we built this system of oppression. It took a lot of time, a lot of effort. We had to tell a lot of lies. We're not just going to backtrack on it because the pandemic's over.
I'm not going to say to someone, oh, look, just wait us out, will you? Just wait 4 or 5 weeks, and then you'll be able to go to the pub. No, if you make the judgment to not get vaccinated and you reckon you can wait out us or the publican or whoever you want to think you're waiting out, you won't wait out the virus because the virus will be here for a long time.
And you, sir, are the virus.
Any protection against it is being vaccinated. This will be well into 2022, well and truly into 2022. Then we're going to get into booster issues, so it won't be your first and second dose. It'll be have you had your third.
And your fourth. And your
fifth. Then the other issue will be, well, who knows what variant's coming?
Oh.
Who knows? Like, we don't.
Yeah, so 2022 is optimistic. I mean, there's no telling what variants come in 2023, 2024, 2020. I mean, they've got to keep this structure in place to be on guard for everything.
So we've got every reason to be confident. We've got every reason to be optimistic and upbeat. This is, the Victorians have done an amazing job. But that
of complying, of laying down like a bunch of well-behaved puppies.
That job includes us making some difficult decisions, and that's to keep people who are not vaccinated out of some of those venues that we've been talking about today.
How long do you foresee?
I can't put a date on it. I cannot put a date on it, but I can tell you this. It will not be when we reach 90%. It will not be, you know, anytime soon. That's going to function for a period of time well into 2022. For instance, I'll give you an example. The Grand Prix is in April. I don't think there's going to be crowds at the Grand Prix made up of people who have...
See, it doesn't matter about the disease. It doesn't matter about cases. It doesn't matter if COVID's wiped off the planet. If it just disappears, sucked into space, it doesn't matter. He's already made the decision. In April, you still have no freedom. Do you understand what you're dealing with here? Again, I'm going to kind of target you people who gave in really quickly because you just felt like it was just hopeless. And you just thought if you just kept your head down for just a couple more months, it was just 15 days to flatten the curve. And then it was 6 months, and now it's this mandate or that mandate. I stayed home. I social distanced. I wore the mask. My kids wore the mask. They're going to take the mask off my kids any day now. For all of you who just acquiesced thinking it'll be over soon, I don't want to cause a fuss. You better listen to this man's words.
Not being double dosed. Just to give you a time frame.
Let's go back. I'm sorry I kind of stepped on that. But he's basically just saying, oh, we've got a two-tier society now. You're either double jabbed or you're nothing. You're nobody. You don't exist. You have no rights.
For instance, I'll give you an example. The Grand Prix is in April. I don't think there's going to be crowds at the Grand Prix made up of people who have not been double dosed. Just to give you a time frame. Doesn't mean it'll end the day after the Grand Prix, but... That just gives you some sense. Please don't play that game of let's just wait them out and then we'll be able to do everything we want to do and have not got jabbed. No, that will not be the case here.
Yes, it
and
will.
If you make that choice, it'll be a very long wait, and you won't outwait this virus. If you're not vaccinated, you'll get it, and you've got every chance of becoming very, very unwell.
No, actually, you have about a 99.7% chance of being fine after contracting this virus. I have actually been looking up citizens' arrests recently. I've done some investigation into that. Just curious. I may actually make it as a show topic. There's some dangers associated with this. You got to be kind of careful, and then you've got to hand over somebody to the authorities, the police, pretty much immediately. If you don't, it's considered kidnapping. But I just started looking at, you know, how do average everyday Americans just begin to hold these people accountable? And citizens arrest just kind of popped into my head. I'm just saying. Now, what the message of that premier, Danny Victoria, was, he says, don't wait us out. Don't think you can wait us out. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Because if you wait long enough, if you push back hard enough, these things will just start to go away because they realize the obstacle. I've got tons of stories today. We'll start out with New York City firefighters.
Today, the fallout continued in New York City over the mayor's new vaccine mandate for the city's more than 300,000 municipal workers who face mandatory unpaid leave if they are not vaccinated by the end of next week. With barely half of all firefighters vaccinated, there is already talk of firehouses closing.
The chiefs are hearing from members that are saying they will absolutely not comply. And what happens in 2 weeks will be anyone's guess.
That's right. Half of them are just standing up and saying, we will not comply. How many buildings burning down? How many citizens have to be harmed by this stuff before they say, okay, unvaxxed firefighters, welcome home. We need you. They're going to win. This is happening. You want to talk about a win? You want to hear a true win, just an absolute abject victory. Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma City Police Department doing an about-face.
The department changing their stance on COVID-19 vaccines, and that decision announced today.
Our leadership has chosen to remove the vaccine mandate, which means that those individuals who are applying to the police department are no longer required to receive the vaccination.
Current police officers were never part of the mandate, and we're told the department hopes dropping the mandate will help boost recruits. By the way, new police recruits are eligible for a new $5,500
bonus. Fortune, what do they say? Fortune favors the bold. How many people went out there and got this thing because they just felt like it was coming? And they're going to make us do it. I might as well get it out of the way. And now there's a bunch of people who waited. They stood their ground. And now they're not part of the world's largest medical experiment. I hope people will learn this lesson. We are in control when we exercise our power. Here is when it comes to corporations. Corporations will not be spared this. Employees are starting to stand up to even the big employers after the nut job Joes. All employers over 100 employees are going to be mandated to get the shot. Of course, this is not a law. OSHA hasn't even issued a ruling on this yet. I don't think they can. I think the only reason it hasn't come out, you know how these things roll through government, don't you? They come out quick. They've planned these things long before they ever spring it on the American. The Patriot Act didn't just spring up. Today's the 20th anniversary of the Patriot Act. So that's October 26th. We were attacked on 9/11. So they didn't roll the Patriot Act out in 40 days. No, they had this thing just ready, cocked, and ready to go. And so you know that this OSHA thing, they knew what Joe Biden was going to do. They knew this ruling for mandates. They're having problems getting this thing out because they know it's going to be challenged legally. And all you people gave up so fast. So the corporations and their employees are starting to stand up, too.
Employees at General Electric in Greenville are staging a walkout as the company now requires all workers to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The mandate falls in line with the Biden administration's executive order requiring federal contractors to be vaccinated. Now, an employee tells WYFF News 4 the walkout is scheduled for Thursday morning at 10:45.
you know, a lot of people's going to leave a half a day tomorrow to meet over there across the street and talk about, you know, their beliefs and what we think we need to do. And a lot of people's not showing up to work this Friday. And people will show up next week, but I honestly believe this is going to be at least once or twice a week from here on out. Like, these people are strongly against this, and it's what we're being told we have to.
In response to the planned walkout, GE says, quote, all GE U.S. employees will be fully vaccinated or receive a medical or religious accommodation by December 8th, as required in the order, end quote.
Again, GE is being wildly dishonest there. There is no order. There is no law. OSHA has not even issued a ruling unless they've done it in the past couple of days, to my understanding. There's nothing there. This is GE being GE, the corporation that pays zero taxes because they have the lobbyists to tweak the tax code in their favor. This is the GE, the part of the military-industrial complex that many of you conservatives have been cheering to get endless amounts of money every time a Republican tells you they're going to increase defense spending. That's the GE that you have emboldened. But I love it. The employees say, oh, we may do this a couple days a week. God love them. All you purebloods out there, you're going to get, what, a three-day work week. And I'll bet you GE will either be ground into the sand, will come to a grinding halt, or these employees are going to start getting a ton of religious exemptions. They're going to try to just kind of shadow do it. The problem is, again, for all the GE employees who said, oh, they're going to mandate it, I guess I better go get it. You should have stood strong. You would have stopped this thing in its tracks. Here's one more. These are the parents. Parents actually fighting.
A group of parents in Illinois has filed a lawsuit against nearly 150 school districts and public officials challenging mask and quarantine policies. Governor J.B. Pritzker issued an order over the summer requiring masks in school for everyone, regardless of vaccination status. The parents argue that Illinois schools do not have the authority to mandate masks or quarantine without parental consent and an order from a local health department. Pritzker, the superintendent of the state's Board of Education and the director of the state's health department, are also listed as defendants in the lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
No comment from Pritzker on the lawsuit.
Yeah, and I ask, where are the Madison, Rankin County attorneys? There have got to be some parents that are against the mask mandates. Are these attorneys scared to go to court and challenge these school boards? Because, you know, they may want work from the school board someday. I don't know. I've been looking for an attorney. Madison parents have been looking for an attorney. Rankin parents have been looking for an attorney. Jackson Public School parents don't seem to really mind that their children are muzzled every single day in those stinky bacteria traps. But the attorneys, as I said, might save the day. Real quick on these stories. If you notice, a lot of these stories about the pushback, the successful pushback, like the Oklahoma Police Department reversing, just completely reversing their vaccine mandate, these are local stories. National media won't cover them because they don't want a bunch of people to know that people are winning in little pockets around the country. So a lot of these are local reports. It's really gross. National media is not reporting on protests in Rome. They're not reporting on the protests in Australia. They're not reporting on the protests in Israel. Because if it ever got out, that there are tens, hundreds of millions of us out there to resist this stuff, we would all get a little bit more hopeful and a little bit more emboldened, and the resistance would grow even stronger. That's why I'm bringing these clips to this show here in Central Mississippi. I'll be right back. All right, I've only got about a couple of minutes left in this hour. I'm not done. I'm telling you, the tide is turning. It is turning because of the people who put their foot down and stood strong. You know, one of the American mottos over the past couple of decades that I've noticed is just people shrugging their shoulders and going, what are you going to do? It's just, there's just this learned helplessness we have. Some people, thank goodness, they don't have it. They don't suffer from it. And so many people have acquiesced to what we've seen going on. It's just so sad to see. But now we're seeing some signs of life. People have finally been pushed far enough. I hate that it always has to come to that. Well, I opened up the show. People are starting to discover some ideas of libertarianism All it took was stripping you of your entire rights, shutting you down your church, muzzling your children, robbing them of a year of their life, and now forcing you into an experiment. And now you're saying, oh, okay, you know what? I kind of do like that more freedom thing the libertarians stand for. A friend just sent me, there's an email that went out today from Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, and they are pointing out some of these companies who are right now threatening their employees with being canned. Kohler, this is down in Hattiesburg, big employer down there. Those employees need to stand strong, bring Kohler to their knees. Ingalls Shipbuilding, of course, they're a federal contractor. Again, you cheered for the big military budgets. Ingalls has been awash in taxpayer cash. Now, I'm glad they're down there providing jobs for people, and they make great products, but now they're threatening the people who have built our national security state. They're threatening them with losing their job if they don't become part of the world's largest medical experiment. And then, of course, there's the healthcare workers, too. I encourage everybody to make sure you are there with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. Their email alerts, because they're getting people together. They're letting people know they're not alone. They're organizing some of this movement against this overreach, this authoritarianism. People need to understand you're not alone. You've been alone in your mind thinking, well, I'm not really for this, but I look around, it seems like everybody else is going along with it. I guess because the mainstream media will not tell you that the resistance is winning in many different areas. And if you don't believe me, stick around for the next hour. I've got more. A lot more. We're going to win this thing if we just stand together and stand strong. Be right back.
No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am bringing you today a message of hope. I mean, we are seeing groundswells of resistance to the stuff that's going on here. Credit to all of you who have been involved in this fight. It works. I mean, every one of us is just this little speck in the cosmic world. I mean, I'm not powerful. You probably don't feel powerful. Nobody can really do anything by themselves. But, man, it's just like grains of sand. And the grains of sand are getting into be a big pile. And, if you had talked to me or anybody in 1985 and said, oh, the Soviet Union, that massive empire, that massive military communist empire, it's going to be gone in 4 years, 5 years. People would have said, that's insane. If in 1860 you had said, you know, I think the U.S. is going to end slavery in 5 years. Slavery had been going on for thousands of years. To think the idea that, oh, they're not going to end slavery? Slavery's been going on for all of probably recorded human history. There's no way we end slavery. And then 5 years later, boom, it's gone. And we need to remember these things. I'm very bad about not remembering those things. I'm pretty pessimistic about the way things are going, largely because of the intelligence of the American people and the passivity, am I saying that correctly? Of so many people I've been so discouraged by. But these little pockets of people, when you fight and you bring somebody else into the fight, they bring somebody else into the fight. And now we're seeing it. I've just done these reports. Oklahoma has reversed their vaccine mandate for their police officers. Firefighters in New York resisting. GE employees in South Carolina walking off the job. Parents in Illinois suing everybody, including the district supervisor of education there for the masks and any other mandates. Because people are fighting back. We got Navy sailors. I don't know if I'll have time to get to that clip. We got Navy sailors. I talked about it. They're trying to claw back the training expenses of Navy SEALs. I got to tell you, I don't want to be the guy that has to walk up to a Navy SEAL and tell somebody, hey, you owe us $240,000. I'm just saying, of all the groups of humans out there that I don't really want to tick off to their face, it might be Navy SEALs would be one of the first group I would kind of want to steer clear of giving them a big onerous bill they don't deserve. Real quick, before we get into some more messages of hope, I want to say during the news breaks we're hearing right now the FDA is meeting about injecting our children, 5 to 11 years old. They've already gone ahead and started experimenting on the 12 and overs. If you are a parent and you are considering getting your child vaccinated, whether it's 12 to 18 or 5 to 11, please, please stop and think about that for a second. do some research into the actual risk of COVID to your child. Not the headline stories, not the fear-mongering stuff, the actual risk. I believe there have been 400 kids in the entire country that have supposedly died, air quotes in their studio, of COVID. And if you look at those stories, you really look at the details around it, they were almost all on dialysis or they had leukemia. They were very sickly kids in the first place. A tragedy, every single one of them. But it is not a threat to your children, and you do not know if your daughter's fertility remains after this vaccine. It might. It might not. That's what happens when you have a shot with no long-term safety trials. Please, please, please. You have no idea what you're doing to your child's immune system, and it's all to mitigate the risk against a disease that is not a threat to them. This makes no sense, and don't believe, don't buy into the hype of this, well, I have to inject my children because I don't want them to infect Nana. If your child is got the shot, they can still infect Nana. If Nana has the shot and it's the vaccine that you think works, then why would Nana get it in the first place? Your logic is completely circular. It makes no sense. But the FDA is meeting right now about this horrible, horrible idea of vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds. I would say don't say a prayer for the outcome of this meeting. I think it's foretold. They are going to approve this shot. Next stop is 2 years old and over, and then 6 months old and over. It's coming. What your prayer should be is that more people find the courage to resist these things. More parents pull their kids out of school and homeschool. I met a family last night, bunch of kids, great kids. You could just tell they were sharp as hell from out here in Florida. They had just been on some big field trip with like 90 other kids, all these homeschooling parents getting together and going out and having field trips. So pray for the people who will stand up against this thing. The FDA is going to approve this. Whether it's this week or not, or they pause for any reason, the FDA is bought and paid for. You can say a prayer for the outcome. I just think that it's more rewarding, and you're probably going to be more satisfied. Say a prayer for the people fighting these kinds of mandates and fighting to expose the FDA and to expose the dangers of these experimental shots, particularly on our children. So I just say that to say that. Back to the messages of hope, I ran across this. Even up in Canada, Canada's gone full-on authoritarian during this health crisis. And I ran across this. You got to love this. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Mounties, up in Canada. Now, as an organization and across law enforcement up in Canada, I've seen some pretty brutal things. But maybe they're waking up. The rank and file of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police sent an open letter to their superintendent or their leader or whatever it is. I'm going to read you a section of it. Quote, this is from the rank and file Mounties. Quote, we want to reiterate a point stated earlier in this letter, so it is remembered. If the people believe the government is continuing to censor experts, the country will fall into instability. We are experts in law enforcement investigations. We are losing faith in the motives of our government, and we will not willingly participate in actions against people whose charter rights and freedoms are being violated. I gotta love it. The Mounties say we are losing faith in the motives of our government. Well, again, I say, the best time to have lost faith in the motives of all of these governments, ours included, was about 60 years ago, but the next best time is today. You should lose faith in the motives of your government. So the police, again, another victory in Canada, the Mounties, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, are telling their leadership in no uncertain terms, we will not participate in these mandates. A vaccination is a personal choice. I'd love to read the whole letter, but it's very long. But they basically say, we're not going to allow you to force these things on people. Here's another win, but I don't know how positive this is. I want you to, this is kind of a disgusting, gross win. A win nonetheless, because it buys time for some of the people to rediscover their inner courage. I think we all have it. It's just that it's a muscle. We don't exercise it here in the United States. How many of you roll over on April 15th and just grouse about filling out that long, cumbersome form to hand over a third of your income to politicians who give it to their crony buddies. And you complain about it a little bit, but you do it every year. I don't want to get in trouble. So we grouse a lot. We don't act very often. But listen to this. Worried that President Joe Biden's COVID vaccine mandate for private companies could cause a mass exodus of employees, business groups are pleading with the White House to delay the rule until after the holiday season. Think about that for a second. Does that sound like it's something about your health? Does that sound like it's something about an existential immediate threat of COVID wiping out large parts of our civilization? These big companies, these lobbying people, and again, this is a victory because all of these companies are experiencing employees that are telling them, not no, but hell no. You want to force these mandates on us? We're out. And these companies are now facing a holiday season, already short on staff. And they're realizing, uh-oh, our whole business is at stake. Profits are now at stake at a holiday season. You know, Black Friday, if you know the meaning of Black Friday. Black Friday is typically the time during the year where these retailers get into the black. They start actually making profits from the Friday after Thanksgiving through the rest of the year. And they're realizing that Black Friday might be Red Friday, as might be Red December, and it might be a red year for them. Of course, they'll probably get bailed out, but they're realizing that their businesses are about to suffer tremendously if they force these mandates. And that is only because employees are standing up. Again, to you people who gave in so quick, I don't want to judge you. I really don't want to judge you. I'm just saying, can you get with us now? Can you start to see, can you gain a little courage from seeing other people in the country stand up? Look, some people are like that. I'm sure I've been a coward many times in my life. I was a coward. I mean, I don't know. I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon warmongering Republican all through the 90s into the early 2000s. But I spoke out. You know, the other thing about that, too, I'll kind of dovetail on the beginning of my show where I'm saying I'm hearing libertarianism mentioned a whole lot more. I diverged off into being a libertarian. One friend was kind of there alongside. We weren't really talking about it. We were just kind of both realizing how corrupt the two major parties were and how ridiculous the Republican Party was with its promises of small limited government. But this guy and I don't hang out socially. So in my big social circle, I just kind of peeled off to myself. I didn't lose a single friend. I didn't fight with people. I didn't say, well, I'm not a Republican anymore, so I cut Republicans out of my life. You can have courage and still live your life. I've still got every one of the friends I have when I changed my mind politically. And I told them where I stood. I went anti-war in the middle of the heat up of the war on terror. I didn't lose any friends. I spoke my mind. And now a lot of my friends are alongside with me now. They realize the debacle of Afghanistan and Iraq and other 20 years. Have some courage to stand on your own. But if you don't have that courage, and again, it's a muscle, you have to exercise it. If you're a little out of shape when it comes to courage, start looking around at the tens of millions of people who are standing up to all of these mandates. Look to the moms, the women. I said that kind of disparagingly, didn't I? I don't mean it that way at all. It's just, to me, it just feels like, where are the men sometimes? I said, but there are a lot of men fighting these mask mandates too, a lot of good dads involved. But look to these people who are fighting the mask mandates. Get your courage and make it to a dang school board meeting. They're not going to let these kids out of this. The shots are coming next. I know they took the mask off you. It's optional now, so you think it's all over, so you can go back to Netflix and college football. But now they're debating. Right now, as we speak, you can almost feel the disturbance in the force as the FDA is meeting to start inoculating our five-year-olds, our little girls who are just developing their reproductive systems. Let's see what happens when we give them a gene therapy we've never tried before. So these things are coming. So get involved. Again, I'm going to go back to this story because it's so gross. These corporations, they were willing to enact these policies of forced vaccination of their employees against their will until it started messing with their bottom line. Suddenly, they're not so concerned with health anymore, are they? They'll go back to being authoritarians after they've used their workers to get them through the holidays. Listen to this. White House officials at the Office of Management and Budget held dozens of meetings with labor unions, industry lobbyists, and private individuals last week as the administration conducts its final review of the mandate, which will require businesses with 100 or more employees to ensure they are vaccinated against COVID or tested weekly for the virus, is estimated to cover roughly two-thirds of the private sector workforce. So these companies are going with their hat in hand to Emperor Biden and saying, please don't make us drag our employees into this mass experiment, harming many, 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 many of them until after we've gotten some work out of them through the holidays. So what needs to happen is between now and then. So the good news of this is that the employees that have stood up have put these companies on notice. Uh-uh. We're not doing it. We're just not doing it. And so the companies are realizing, oh, my gosh, we're about to lose a lot of staff, so they're going to push it back. So you've got 2 months now where you get more and more people. You keep pushing. I've told you, the system takes 10 steps forward, and then they take one step back. It's like this ridiculous $600 limit on your account for the IRS to snoop around. Here's what just happened on this. We just watched it live time. They came out and said $600. A bunch of conservatives and even some liberal groups came out and said, this is ridiculous, $600. That's too low. So they're rethinking it. They're going to put it at $10,000 through your account in a year, and the IRS has total access to it. And now everyone goes, ah, look at that. We beat them. No, they're still in your account. How many people in the United States run $10,000 a year through a checking account? Of course, most Americans working put $10,000 a year through their checking account. It's still the same result, but you think you got a victory. See, they tried to take 10 steps forward. You beat them back one step. They're still 9 steps ahead. They're still going to get the IRS into your accounts more than they are right now. So these businesses do not care about health at all. They don't stand up for the freedom of their employees. They just named some of them. They just want you to run the machines, get them through the holidays until you're no longer needed. And you got to wonder, well, what about all the death and illness of the next 2 months between now and the end of the holiday season? Do these companies not care about humanity and our health? Of course they don't, because none of this is about health. But again, the moral of this story is, and it's playing out right in front of us, don't be the first to give up and bend over to the government or your employer. Don't do it. You will find, well, I'm sure there are a lot of nurses that really felt alone. I've talked to some of them where they say, I don't know, there's one girl I've gotten to know. I can't remember the number in her office. My 40, 45 people, there were two of them who didn't roll up their sleeves. But in that other 40 that did roll up their sleeves, how many of those didn't want to, but they just did because they felt like it was inevitable? Probably at least 20. That would have been 22. And that would have changed the whole dynamic of this thing. The employer would have had to rethink the entire program, except those first 20 just said, oh, well, I get, what are you going to do? And they did it. Don't be the first. Don't give up so quickly. I've got more stories. Let's see, what have I got next? Oh yeah, I've still got some encouraging stories, and then a Biden clip that makes me, whew. He's tough to watch these days. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
You just heard from one of our great sponsors, Lakeland Glass and Tint. I got to tell you, though, in their commercial, they do the cash register sound in that thing. Does that trigger anybody else? Because it's the sound that you get when somebody sends you money by Venmo, maybe PayPal, too. Every time I hear that ad, I look at my phone. I start getting all excited, and there's nothing, nothing. I've come to love the cash register sound. I'm like Pavlov. I don't know what gets you to oppose things. I've been on this air for, we're coming up on 5 years of trying to get people to oppose the CDC, the FDA, the SEC, the FBI, pretty much the entire government. I think if you want anybody who wants to freely admit that they're anti-government, that's me. As a libertarian, I realize the government is the root of all of our problems. China didn't slap a mask on my child. China is not forcing my child to take a vaccine. China doesn't do any of these things. Oh, well, they're in our schools. Okay, then get them out of your schools. Go to the school board sitting around whining about China. I'm no fan of China. But whatever gets you through the night, whatever gets you to oppose, and Joe Biden, I will oppose Joe Biden with the red-hot passion of a thousand suns. The man is a career kleptocrat, crony, parasite on the United States and has been for 40-something years. And I can't wait for that to end. So if that's what makes you oppose these things, I've been really shocked by conservatives who are doing what Biden wants them to do. If that's what, if you still are trapped in the Biden versus Trump paradigm, if that's what gets you through the night to oppose these things, then oppose it through this. I'm going to play a couple of clips from Joe Biden where he just goes full-on thug. The guy is just disgusting. Now, I know it's not him. That's the thing. He's still a corrupt creature, a blood-soaked monster. Back when he was coherent, he's responsible for the deaths and displacements of tens of millions of people. But we know now he's not calling the shots. He's reading his teleprompter and occasionally goes off script, and the White House has to spend a day retracting everything he said when he wasn't reading. I do like that it makes them uncomfortable when he has to speak in public. But he did his little town hall with the CIA asset, Anderson Cooper, and he said a couple of things worth listening to and getting outraged about.
As many as one in three emergency responders in some cities like Chicago, Los Angeles, right here in Baltimore, are refusing to comply with city vaccine mandates. I'm wondering where you stand on that. Should police officers, emergency responders, be mandated to get vaccines? And if not, should they be stay at home or let go?
Yes and yes. By the way.
Those are all the people out there. Now, I don't know. Maybe this was some elite audience. I didn't watch this ridiculous charade of a town hall. But maybe these are all the elites. I don't think they were from the footage I saw. These are all the people clapping for the fact that they won't have firemen to respond to their house fire. They won't have a cop to come investigate their crime. They won't have a paramedic come pick their mom up when she has a heart attack. And they're cheering for it. It's really, really quite pathetic. I wonder if Joe Biden would be any different if you went to some of these elites and said, hey, you're going to lose a third of your Secret Service detail. You're going to lose a third of the pilots for Air Force One. You're going to lose a third, you know, things that actually affect them. I wonder if their tune would change. Yeah, no, it's just the people that are out there to serve the American people are threatening to quit. And Joe Biden goes, oh, let them quit. Who cares? I've got my personal doctor. I've got my personal security. I've got everything I need. I don't really care what the people end up with. Do you hear this, Democrats? Any of you Democrats out there listening? Do you hear this man say he doesn't care if you have a full police force, a full fire force? He doesn't care if you have a third less ambulances to take you to the hospital. It doesn't matter to him. He says, get the shot.
By the way, I waited until July to talk about mandating because I tried everything else possible. The mandates are working.
Do you hear how he talks to you like you're a child? This is the thing I would ask for any Democrat. Why are you so infantilized? Why do you need a 78-year-old demented old man to run your life for you? And if it's not him, any of the Democrats who tell you you can't tie your shoes by yourself. But you hear how he talks to you. I tried to be nice. I tried to just do this. You know, I tried to just encourage and stuff, but you just won't do it. So now I have to force you. That's what a parent or a boss says to you, not a servant, not a representative. He is your king. And then he says this little piece of propaganda that just makes me want to smack something.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on.
Listen to these people. Oh, those people talk about their freedom. Golly. This is the sitting president of the United States. In what is supposed to be, and I'm sure he's probably said it this year at some time, leader of the free world, he is disparaging freedom. All these people out there talking about their freedom. This is the United States president. You want to know how far we have fallen, how far the federal government has fallen? That's about as big as it gets right there.
Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID, is what he says. Do you know how dangerous that is to say to people anybody walking around without being double jabbed, anybody outside of the experiment, people like me, the heroes of the control group out there risking our lives day in and day out to show, to prove that efficacy of your vaccine. Aren't I a hero to sacrifice myself out in the world of wild COVID, unprotected? Anyway, he does this thing where, you know, if you're not vaccinated, you're just out killing people. Even the most brain-dead liberal must understand how ridiculous that is, don't you?
I mean, come on, freedom.
Freedom. I mean, come on, freedom. Oh, my gosh.
Number one. Number two, the second one is that, the gross misinformation that's out there.
That you spew every day. All right, so back to hope. In just a second, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to bring you back to Florida. Florida's got a Surgeon General. I don't think we have a Surgeon General here in our state. I guess Thomas Dobbs is the closest thing we have here to a Surgeon General, which is a depressing thought in and of itself. But I want you to contrast our own Thomas Dobbs with the Florida Surgeon General. He gave a speech the other day that's certainly worth listening to. We'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Callers, I'm sorry I'm not taking calls today. I'm telling you, I've got 5 hours worth of material for 2 hours of show. I want to get through everything. The message of today's show is, look, there is no cavalry coming to save us. We are the cavalry. And those of you who have kept your horse tied to the post, you need to get into the battle. You need to go out here and do it. There is nobody coming. Trump is not coming to save you. He didn't for 4 years. You stood down. He's not coming back to save you. You're going to sit around, wait to 2025, and then you're going to give him 4 more years before at the end of his term? I'm telling you, there's nobody coming to save you. The people are rising up. That's why I love today's show. Example after example of people fighting back, of business leaders having to go grovel to the White House. Please give us till after Christmas so we can keep our wage slaves working. We need them for the holidays. Then we'll jab them. We'll force them to get jabbed in January once all our sales are in. So gross, but it means they're panicking. It's working. People standing up, it's working. You don't have to attend a rally if you don't want to. You don't have to do these things. You can just stand alone by yourself at a workplace and say no. You can go to the school boards. It's 2 miles from your house. Still aggravating me that people can't take back their schools, but I think they're starting. I want you to contrast this. This is Florida's Surgeon General. See, some of the facts are kind of bleeding out into even some of the upper reaches of some of the states in Florida, kind of leading the charge against the draconian stuff. Although I'll tell you, I mean, Ron DeSantis, great hero of freedom. Definitely one of the best out there, if maybe the best nationally. When it comes to COVID stuff. But he's got an establishment streak to him. But at least in Florida, some of the news on vaccine ineffectiveness is getting out to some high levels. I want you to contrast. This is Florida Surgeon General. I want you to contrast this with our own Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi. And then ask yourself, what the hell is Tate Reeves doing?
You remember when people were telling you that these vaccines would stop transmission and the rates of protection were greater than 90%? Well, you know, guess what? Here we are about 10 months afterward, and we're finding that the data are showing that some of these vaccines, the protection from infection is less than 40%, and even less than that for some of them. And
golly, they're getting data after all this. It's almost like they're still experimenting with this thing. It's almost like it's a big trial. It's almost like they had no idea what was going to happen because they didn't. Oh, that's right. They didn't test this thing. That's why the data keeps changing.
As we now know, these vaccines are not preventing transmission. So, sure, they reduce the likelihood of transmission, and even
I think he's about to say it, but I would even disagree with that. They showed in healthcare workers you carried 251 times the viral load in your nasal pharynx. Pharynx? I don't know. Anyway, you guys are super spreaders.
That is sort of questionable depending on how far out you go, but they're not preventing it. So this idea that, you know, I've heard some leaders say things like, you know, we'll create safe workplaces by mandating these vaccines. Well,
is anybody else just really triggered by the term leaders? I've had a couple of, I've used the term here. I think I use it kind of snarky. I'm being sarcastic when I say it, but it probably doesn't always translate over the radio. And I've had some listeners rightfully call me out on it. Quit calling these people leaders. I love it. I love that people are waking up to that and that we realize these people are not leaders. They're trying to be rulers. And that's not what anybody was elected to do.
They're really decoupled because the infections can still happen whether people are vaccinated or not. I mean, that's very obvious, you know. And you remember, these people were also telling you that all these breakthrough infections were rare. Well, they're obviously not rare. In fact, they're common. And so that's the truth. So this idea that the vaccine mandates are needed to create safe workplaces is a complete lie. It's continued to be repeated. And you should know that it's not at all backed up by science. In fact, the science says something that's completely the opposite. So, and that's a fact.
And there you go. That's Florida's Surgeon General. Here in Mississippi, we have Thomas Dobbs. Thanks, Tate Reeves. All right, final segment for today. I'm going to get a little bit of tech news in here. I do a health show on Wednesdays to protect your physical health. We talk about mental health on there, too. I'm going to do a little bit of mental health look at technology here, too, from a story that was cropped up over the past week I wanted to get to. But this show has been a message of hope. I'm telling you, we are winning at basically every turn in fighting what's going on right now. If more people would get engaged, the victory would be quicker. We could choke off this vaccine mandates for our children before they even become a twinkling in Fauci and Thomas Dobbs' eye. If we let them know in no uncertain terms, that is not going to be happening here in Mississippi or anywhere else. So, as I say, we are our own cavalry. If you've got your horse still tied to the post, it's time to get riding. Here's a story. I know a lot of people use social media, and I will admit, confess, grant you, that social media during this particular time has allowed a lot of people to communicate online in the resistance movement, okay? So I'll give you that. There are some values to these things. Now, what companies you use, I think, should be debated because we are empowering some of the most tyrannical organizations. People, I've been talking about this for almost 5 years now. Everyone whining to me about Facebook and Zuckerberg and all the rest of them while you become a product of Facebook and Zuckerberg and the rest of them. You give them your data. They monetize you. They monetize you, and they make billions of dollars doing it while you complain about them. Never quite understood that. But anyway, there's some other things. This story came up, and I don't know. I've got a soft spot in my heart for the kids, the children. And I have said that social media, I think, is largely responsible for ripping this country apart. Again, admittedly, granted, there's a value to it right now and kind of getting like-minded individuals a place to congregate. So that's a tough one. As kind of opposed to social media as I am, it has had a value, particularly recently. So understand, I do acknowledge that. Anyway, here's a story about TikTok and our kids. You know, this vaccine's not the first huge mass experimentation on our children. Since the late 1990s, we've been experimenting on newborns and developing children with things like genetically modified foods and covering our food in Roundup herbicide. And I don't know if you've noticed, but our children's health outcomes are not great. We've been experimenting on our children with this round of 72 vaccines they've been given. We've been experimenting on our children with all kinds of different things. Social media is no different. And this story shows the results of some of this testing of some of the social media platforms.
a rise in teen girls experiencing tick-like behavior. Symptoms similar to Tourette's syndrome can be linked to TikTok, along with an increase in anxiety and depression. In a study published in the journal Movement Disorders, researchers say when interviewing patients, many reported the behavior started after watching videos on TikTok and YouTube showing people who say they have Tourette's syndrome. The study's authors say many of those videos show movement and vocalizations not typically present in Tourette's syndrome. Researchers found referrals for tick-like behavior experienced a dramatic increase during the pandemic, almost exclusively in girls 12 to 25 years old. The study notes the videos posted on social platforms are not verified by experts, but may trigger tick-like behaviors in susceptible people. Katie Johnston for CBSN Baltimore.
So there you go. You want to talk about how impressionable our children are? All the fear-mongering around COVID that's caused them to have all this anxiety. I mean, we just have no idea what we are doing to our children. But these girls are watching Tourette's videos on TikTok, and they're absorbing the movements and getting their own tics. Ugh. I got to tell you, you got to be constantly on guard what your kids are watching these days. Study Finds put out something. This came out of Australia. Social media has helped to connect the world in a way previous generations could never dream of. Unfortunately, there's a dark side to that global online community. From social media trolling to cyberbullying to threats against our rights to privacy, a new study finds using social media comes with many risks to your health and well-being. Researchers with the University of Technology Sydney have discovered 46 specific harmful effects of using social networks. These include physical detriments, mental health problems, impacts on work or school productivity, and security or privacy issues. They boil these down into 6 degrees of social media harm. First one being cost of social exchange. This includes both psychological harms such as depression, anxiety, or jealousy, and other costs to users like wasting time, energy, and even money. Annoying content, privacy concerns, security threats, cyberbullying, and low performance. This refers to the negative impact social media can have on job or academic performance. I'm just saying, there's a reason that I'm not really active on social media. I get ridiculed about that to some degree. I just can't really get involved. Again, willing to admit there has been a value to people congregating. I wish people would use some platforms other than Facebook and Twitter and go ahead and facilitate the exodus from these places. I know people are constantly, I mean, I've never had a Facebook strike or any of these things because I'm not on there. It's almost a badge of courage that I can't earn being kicked off of Twitter or Facebook or any of these other places because I'm just not there. Not kind of proud of people who do get kicked off because it does show that you're upsetting the apple cart to a degree and probably telling the truth about something. That's basically what they try to slap down, but I don't have that ability because I don't do it. I'm just saying, social media by and large, maybe with our children, we can teach them better habits. I think adults have misused it. This was just a little funny, too, and kind of relating to the tech stuff and how topsy-turvy the world is. I did a story the other day that Vladimir Putin came out and basically said it's just an abomination. I can't remember. He used a very extreme term to describe people who are pushing our children to believe that gender is fluid, that you can wake up any day and decide your gender. This is Vladimir Putin, the former KGB officer who heads up the former Soviet Union. It's actually, you know, it's just Russia now. It's not the Soviet Union, no matter how much the neocons want you to believe. Neocons in both parties want you to believe there's some big threat to you. It's not still the Soviet Union, it's Russia. But this is the former KGB guy. He's out there. I mean, he is basically calling out the woke. And particularly when it came to gender stuff. But it's just funny. This story was on RT, which is Russia Today. Helen Buynitsky. Having bulldozed most real-life relationships already, Mark Zuckerberg is now moving to strip away what's left of our expectations of privacy by dragging us kicking and screaming into an online padded cell called the Metaverse. The emergence of the all-too-perfect whistleblower, Francis Haugen. This Facebook whistleblower, I don't think I get so much stuff to cover on this show. And I try to cover things that other people don't cover. So I left out any mention of this Facebook whistleblower. But boy, the more I've heard about that, what a setup. This woman was a false flag trying to get Facebook basically in trouble for the January 6th thing. They're basically saying that too many people on the right are congregating on Facebook. I mean, it was just such a false flag on this Facebook thing. Anyway, this story on Russia Today calling out Mark Zuckerberg for what is essentially creating this Orwellian world where you lose all privacy and are surveilled and tracked and traced. This is the former Soviet Union that has to write these stories. It's not on USA Today. It's not in American newspapers. It's coming out of Russia Today that is looking at this. I mean, I forget. It's been a bit since I read this story. I don't know if they actually said, wow, you know, Facebook would have been in the dream of the Soviet Union. I mean, can you imagine the amount of information they could have harvested as the former Soviet Union, the dictatorship, could have harvested on their people through an app like Facebook? The United States just brings it in. I saw that. I've been seeing these commercials for Facebook Portal, I believe it's called. These things pop up on my Hulu stuff. This is another one of these things you could bring into your home. You can bring Mark Zuckerberg's surveillance state straight into your home in this Facebook Portal. It's a big screen on a stand. Shows everybody having their little FaceTime talks and all that stuff. It's just as creepy as it could be to me. You might as well put Zuckerberg eyes on the thing and bring it into your home. It's always been fascinating to me that Americans through Alexa and what are the other things, the Google thing, whatever it's called. Again, I don't do these things, so I know I probably sound like I'm completely out of touch, but I'm not bringing this thing into it. The Soviet Union had to spy on its people with great effort. The Americans, we invited Big Brother in. We said, wait, you mean you can adjust my TV volume with just my voice? Come on in, Big Brother. You mean I can order things I don't need online by just speaking them out loud while I'm cooking spaghetti? Come on in, Big Brother. Yeah, these people who lived in the Soviet Union are glad to see it gone. Must be absolutely amazed at watching Americans trap themselves in this technological prison we're doing. That's all I'm saying. All the time I got. See you tomorrow.
No
bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.